Welcome to the New Church Buccleuch. This is an audio recording of a sermon given by Pastor Mark.
Good morning again, everybody. So over the last couple of weeks, we have been looking at the idea of being born again. What does it really mean for our lives? If we go to the next slide, we've been looking at a circle of life, a circle that we go through in this process of being reborn again. Because to be born again is, yes, it is a promise, it is a commitment to the Lord. Lord, you are my Savior, you are my Redeemer. But it's not something that we make once. It's a promise, it's a commitment that we make every day. Every moment of every day, we make that commitment to the Lord, to follow Him, to love Him, when we have relationships with other people, whether it's at work, whether it's our family, whether it's a person we meet on the street that we don't know. Every moment, every interaction with people, we have a decision to make. Am I going to follow the Lord in how I treat this person, or am I going to follow myself? And so to be born again is not a once-off, Lord, I am saved. It is a lifetime process of making the same decision, the same commitment. I'm going to follow you, Lord, and your will in this moment and not my own. Now I want to turn to Scripture. Today I want to sort of recap the ideas of this circle of life, but also invite you to something. So this circle of life, this process of being reborn, is not something new. If we truly look to the Lord's Word to discover what it means, we will see the circle of life being explained over and over and over again in the Scriptures. And so the idea is not new. It might be new to you, but it's not new to the Scriptures. It has been missed by a lot of people, but we have an opportunity to understand this process in a new way. I want to start off by turning to Scripture. You can follow along in your pew card. We start at the top of the page there. In John 3, Jesus says this. He says, "This is the condemnation, that the light has come into the world." Okay, the light being His Word. Well, we have the remains of the light, which is His truth and His Word. "The light has come into the world, and men love darkness rather than the light, because indeed their deeds were evil. For everyone practicing evil hates the light and does not come to the light, lest his deeds should be exposed." Lest his deeds should be exposed. "But he who does the truth comes to the light, that his deeds may be clearly seen that they have been done in God." If we look at that circle, we start off at the bottom, the knowing. We start off by knowing the stories of the Lord's Word. We start by knowing the Scripture. We start by knowing how to pray. We start by knowing ideas about the Lord. That's where we start in our faith. And we might feel at that point, yes, I have faith, I believe in this. But that's only the beginning. Knowing is just the first step in this process of rebirth, of regeneration. To really have faith is to take those truths that we know and to lift them up. I believe in the Lord. He is the one God of heaven and earth. And these are the truths that He teaches. And why is it important that we hold them up as important? Because we're down here somewhere. Our lives, the way we live, are somewhere off to the side and down the bottom. And the job of the job that we have is to see the Lord's truths and to see our lives. To see where the Lord wants us to go and to see the path that we're walking. And to say to ourselves, I am off the path. The things that I am doing are serving myself rather than serving the Lord. Okay? If we go to the John reading, it said, people are afraid or hate the light because it exposes their evils. If you know the Lord's word, then inside yourself, you should be convicting yourself of evil. You should be able to say to yourself, I am doing wrong. That is the purpose of the truth. The truth is there not just to say, Lord, I believe. The truth is there to say, and I have done wrong. I am doing wrong. And that's to take the truth and to lift it up and to really understand it. To really understand how this truth is affecting my life or how it should affect my life. To see the path that I should be walking. It should expose your own weaknesses. That's why the Lord has given us His truth. That's why He has given us the light. And He says, but those who do the truths come to the light. Those who do the truths come to the light. Now that's an interesting idea. Surely I come to the light and then I do the Lord's will. But that's not how it works. Because when we first come to the Lord, we are in evil. We are all, in some way, are selfish. And so we come to the Lord in our selfishness. And we lift up the truth and we say, this is the way I want to go. This is the way I see the Lord leading my life. And then we have to will it. We have to force ourselves to do what the Lord wants. Because remember, we're in a state of evil. We're in a state of selfishness. And the Lord is asking us to be good. And we don't want to leave the state that we're in. We don't want to go where the Lord is pointing us to. And so we have to force ourselves. Spiritual growth requires us to force ourselves to follow the Lord. To see what He teaches and to say, I will force myself to do that. I see that it's leading in a good direction. And then we force ourselves. We will ourselves to do it, and we do what is good. And through doing what is good, we learn something. Through doing something good, we learn that it actually feels good to do good. But we also see the effect of it. We see the other person and how it uplifts their state and brings joy to their life. And we say, this is good. This is from the Lord. This is really true. And so we learn through our doing more knowledge that helps us to understand things even better so that we learn to will it. And what happens as we progress through the circle is the Lord creates in us a new heart. Right? The scriptures talk often about the new heart. The Lord creates in us a new will. We want and we love doing what the Lord teaches. We love reaching out to others. We love caring and supporting others. And so this is a cycle of perfection. Every time we move through the cycle, so we're growing. So the Lord is growing within our hearts a love for Him, a love for His truth, a love for other people. And we grow and we grow and we grow over and over again. Every time we choose to follow the Lord's path. So we can see the circle of life in that scripture from John. We look at Matthew. The Lord says, take heed that you do not do your charitable deeds before men to be seen by them. Otherwise, you have no reward from your Father in heaven. people interpret this passage to mean that the Lord is telling us not to do charitable deeds. That's missing the point altogether. What the Lord is saying is, why are you doing your good deeds? Not don't do them. The Lord wants us to do what He commands. He wants us to do charitable deeds. He wants us to do good works. But why are you doing it? Are you doing it to get praise from other people? Are you doing it so that other people can look up to you and say, wow, they're so great? Or are we doing it because the Lord wills it? Are we doing it from our will, which is selfish and worldly and wanting praise? Or are we doing it from the Lord's will because it is the right thing and the loving thing to do? So the Lord wants us to do charitable deeds, but not from our will, from His will. So we see the circle in that teaching from Matthew. In James, I love the book of James. There are others who don't like it so much. James speaks so clearly about a very important topic, and that is works. There is so much misunderstanding in the Christian church about works. But if you understand the circle of life, you can understand what James is getting at here. James says, well, what does it profit, my brethren, if someone says he has faith but does not have works? So what use is it if you say you have faith but you don't have works? Can faith save him? Yeah, this is a touchy point within the Christian faith. People will say, oh yeah, just faith will save you. But that's not what the Scriptures teach us. The Scriptures do not teach us faith alone will save you. Thus also, faith by itself, if it does not have works, is dead. We spoke about being a hypocrite. Okay, we as Christians can be hypocrites. We can know the Lord, and we can know His Bible, know what He teaches, but yet not enter into the gates. Stand in the gates and not do what the Lord asks, but just stand there proclaiming we are Christians, and in the meantime turning around and treating others with disrespect and thinking ourselves more important than other people, being unfair, dishonest. We are being hypocrites. We say we have faith, but yet we treat others worse than ourselves. You can't have faith without good works. Some will say, you have faith and I have works. Show me your faith without your works, and I will show you my faith by my works. Let's put love in there. If we say, Lord, I love you, show that you love the Lord without doing anything. You can't. Because the only way to love the Lord is to love other people. The only way to love the Lord is to help other people. You can't have faith without works. So I will show you my faith by loving other people. That is the true gospel. That is the true gospel. You believe that there is one God. You do well. Even the demons believe and tremble. Okay? So basically saying to us as Christians, don't stand up there and say, I believe in God. He is my Savior and Redeemer. Because even the devil says that. But if you can will to do good works, if you can choose to follow the Lord in your good works, there is true faith. There is true faith. But do you want to know, O foolish man, that faith without works is dead? Was not Abraham our father justified by works when he offered Isaac his son on the altar? Do you see that faith was working together with his works? And by works, faith was made perfect. So this circle, we're meant to follow the circle, right? We can't go to the Lord with only half of what he teaches. We can't go to the Lord with only half, which is just having faith. We've got to have a wholeness, a fullness, a perfection, taking what the Lord teaches and actually bringing it into our lives. By works, faith are made perfect. You see, then a man is justified by works and not by faith alone. So the Lord's invitation to us is to enter into this circle of life. Yes, we start off with what seems like faith. We start off with an understanding of the Lord's truths. We start off with an energy and a passion and a love for these truths. And we go to the Lord and we get baptized. But that is just the beginning. That is just the gate. Because what the Lord is teaching us in His truths is to lift our minds, understand it, convict ourselves. The Lord doesn't convict us. Convict ourselves of being selfish. See where we are going wrong so that we can choose the Lord's path. We can choose the Lord's will instead of our will and do what He commands. And so enter into the circle of life over and over and over again, choosing every moment of every day. Is it my will? Was it the Lord's will that I'm going to do in this moment? So this is not new. You might ask, well, what's new about the new church? Okay, the people who ask. Your name says new. What's new about the new church? Well, nothing, really. It's all been given to us in the Lord's word already. What the new church offers and what the invitation of the new church is to enter with your understanding into the secrets of faith. That the Lord has given to us in His word over and over and over again this same path that people over the thousands of years have chosen or have missed, but for some reason we do not see the fullness of this circle. And so the invitation of the new church is to understand and to enter into the circle of life with the Lord. And as a church, that's what we are here to try and provide. The opportunity for you to interact with other people. An opportunity for you to practice. An opportunity for you to learn. An opportunity for you to think more deeply, to lift your understanding. An opportunity for you to choose. That's all we can do as a church, is get people within our congregation, within our community, getting people to the point of choosing. And what are we choosing? We're choosing whether to follow our own will, to be selfish, or choosing to follow the Lord. As a church, we cannot make love. We cannot create it. We cannot force it on you. It's a choice. Love is a choice. It's the Lord's choice. It's the heavenly choice. It's the choice that we enter into when we go into the circle of life. And so the Lord and the church speak about baptism. The Lord, in the scripture in Matthew 3, you can read along, says, indeed, or this is actually John the Baptist, indeed I baptize you with water unto repentance, but he who is coming after me is mightier than I, whose sandals I am not worthy to carry, he will baptize you with the Holy Spirit and with fire. Okay. What is the Holy Spirit? I got an easy answer. We go to John 16. It says, however, when he, the Spirit of truth, a Spirit of truth, when he comes, he will guide you to all truth. What is the Holy Spirit? The truth. Where do we get the truth? In his word. Where do we store that truth? In our mind. So if we have the truth from the Lord in our minds, we have the Holy Spirit within us. We have the Lord Spirit within us. We have the Lord's truths within us. And the Lord is constantly pressing and urging on us to take those truths and to understand them and to move into the circle of life. That's what the Spirit of the Lord's truth is trying to get us to do, to move into this relationship with Him. So the Lord will baptize us. The Lord will give to us. The Lord has given to us His truths. And He constantly wants to excite those truths in us and then baptize us with fire. Fire is a passion. Fire is love for what is good. The Lord wants to baptize us with the Holy Spirit and with fire, with the truth that comes from His word and a passion and a love for what is good. That's what we're all wanting as Christians. To feel the Lord working with us, to feel a love for His truths, to feel a love for other people, to feel heaven on earth. That's what we're all after. In our own way, through our own problems, through our own lives, we're wanting the Lord to be tangible. And He is tangible when we are loving other people, when we are caring for other people, when we are doing our best for other people, when we're wishing best for them and their lives. This is the circle that the Lord is trying to get us to move into. This is the invitation that the Lord gives you. And the invitation of the new church is to participate in this. Because this is what the Scripture has taught us and is teaching us over and over and over again. To be born again is in every moment of every day. Amen. To the one only God, Jesus Christ our Lord, be glory and dominion forever and ever. Amen. Let us pray. O Lord God, our Savior Jesus Christ, You have shown us what is good. You have shown us and taught us that to love You is to do Your commandments, that to love You is to love our neighbor. And Lord, as we think about those two great commandments, Lord, we ask that You inspire in our hearts the desire to follow in that path. Bring to our minds the inspiration. Bring to our hearts a warmth that we might go in search of what is true from Your word and to feel the effects of loving other people in our lives. That through matching what we learn with how we feel in life, that we can come to a better understanding of what You require of us, of what Your heavenly path is all about. Everyone desires, Lord, and everybody knows that a good life, a loving life, leads to heaven. And Lord, we ask that You be with us, that You strengthen us in this mission, that You strengthen us in this vision of a new heaven and a new earth within us, that You can be there in every moment, in every relationship, helping and guiding us to what is good Amen. May the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ be with us all. Amen.